Previously, in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Father Dempsey had to explain that the church's law on remarriage in church was impossible for a divorcee. The lunch that followed at Irene's was not the celebration they'd hoped for.
David went on to explain what had happened.
Since neither of us has had anything to do with divorce before, we jumped to the conclusion that Gloria was divorcing me and taking the blame, which sounded straightforward. Thanks,
he added as John brought him a beer. He took a sip and continued.
But it doesn't work that way. I have to divorce her. I could do that, but Father Andrew told us we couldn't marry in the church, even although I'm the innocent party.
This time he took a gulp of his beer and turned away, walking over to the window with his back to everyone. Pippa knew his emotions were getting the better of him, and he was trying to get them under control by looking on to the outside world. The sound of happy children playing in the street didn't help. Pam spoke for the first time.
I realise this is very much a family affair,
she started. You are family, Pippa interrupted, or very soon will be, and I've thought of you as family for so long. Her eyes brightened. Oh, and before I forget, you know the attractive housekeeper?
What attractive housekeeper?
Pam asked, puzzled. The one I told Mum and Dad about, Irene offered. Not that I've ever seen her, but gossip was going round about Father Dempsey having such a good-looking young woman living on the premises. Glad to change the subject for David's sake, Pippa said. Well, you can scotch these rumours right away. He's far too upright for anything like that. But here's something that will interest you, Pam. She was a nurse at Buckland Hospital, and she knew you very well. Her name's Anna Kelly.
Good heavens! Anna was Dr. Toland's assistant. She was her right-hand man, or rather woman. A brilliant nurse working for a brilliant doctor, and like all the cleverest people, everything fell on them. During the Dunkirk evacuation, while she was working with Dr. Gertrude, as we called her, they dealt with 350 servicemen who were taken to Buckland, and 300 of them survived, mostly thanks to them. Anna had a nervous breakdown afterwards, due to lack of sleep as much as coping with so many hideous cases. She left before I did. I knew she was an Irish Glaswegian and Catholic, but from some of our conversations I got the impression she was having a crisis of faith. Probably because of a ghastly sight she'd seen. So, well, I'm amazed she should end up as a priest's housekeeper. Also, she's far too clever for that.
Irene was able to add some more information. I understand she was brought in when he first came to the parish, when his amputation was giving a lot of trouble, mainly caused by infection, I think. At first, she was his full-time carer, attending to his wounds and teaching him how to cope with only one arm. Then, I was told, she started helping the elderly housekeeper and took over completely when she retired.
Talk about small world. Fancy us both ending up so near each other. I must get in touch with her. I admired her tremendously.
Pam, I think my news about Anna interrupted what you were going to say, Pippa apologised.
Oh, yes, well.
She was hesitant now.
I'm not sure my opinion counts since I'm not Catholic.
But, Pippa encouraged her.
But, and please forgive my ignorance, but the whole situation seems ridiculous to me. I understand your present situation, but after the divorce is over, I don't understand why you can't be married wherever you like, especially since neither of you has done anything wrong.
Craig and Irene nodded their approval. Then Craig broke the silence. She's right, Mum. You must see that. In a sectarian way, yes, I do. Unfortunately, that's not what we're dealing with. The church defends the sanctity of marriage, and that means till death do us part, as both of us vowed at our weddings. The thought of that brought a lump to her throat, and the last few words were distorted. David left the window and quickly moved to sit on the arm of Pippa's chair, putting his arm round her shoulders.
We've a great deal to think about, but this isn't the time or the place. We need to think about it separately and together.
He stroked her hair and spoke more brightly.
Now, there's a wonderful smell of soup, and if you're ready, Irene, let's all enjoy your lunch. I'm sure we'll think more clearly on a full stomach.
There were sighs of relief all round, and smiles returned. During lunch, everyone tried to avoid the subject dominating their minds. Pippa got things going by asking Irene to tell Craig and Pam her good news. That did the trick. Explosions of congratulations, and Craig rushed round the table to give his sister a kiss and a hug and shook hands with John. Now the talk was all about babies and their needs, and Pippa and David did their best to join in the spirit of the good news. Craig and Pam stayed on, a happy foursome, after Pippa and David had left. I think you should come in for a cup of tea, Pippa said when they reached her door.
Good idea. I need to be alone with you right now. Look, they're gorgeous young people, but I was finding it very difficult to keep up the cheery atmosphere.
Me too, she said as she turned the key in the door. She hung her hat wearily on its usual peg on the hall stand. Make yourself comfortable, and I'll make us a nice strong pot of tea. She turned into the kitchen, but David followed her and circled her waist with eager arms. She turned round, but before she could speak, he kissed her firmly.
Oh, my darling, I've been dying to do that.
My dear darling David, she said with tears welling in her eyes as she held his head between her palms. But let's face it, we've got to stop all that. Gripping her hands and pulling them together onto his chest, he said,
I don't care what that priest said. We are going to be married, somehow.
With a huge change of tone, he surprised her by suddenly saying,
Now, let's have a cup of tea and celebrate that thought.
Her eyes were fixed on his. Oh, David, I wish I could feel as confident as you do. But I don't see any way out of this. He dropped her hands and strode over to the kettle, poured water into it and lit the gas underneath. Pippa watched in amazement as he started looking for cups in all the wrong places, swiftly opening and shutting doors. Pulling herself together, she opened the correct cupboard and took out two cups and saucers. Now David was putting tea into the teapot. Neither spoke until they were seated in the living room. Her tea half finished, Pippa laid it down and said, David, we've got to face this. It's not going to happen, however much we want it.
Yes, it is. Now, I'm going to see that lawyer tomorrow and get things started.
You're deliberately missing the point. The divorce is one thing. You know perfectly well getting married in the church is something else.
I'm beginning to think the young people are right. Does it really matter where we marry?
It does to me, David. I can't help that. And since that seems impossible... David was silent, dreading what was coming. I think we should stop seeing each other, she blurted out.
Give one kiss and then we sever. If it will last forever, deep in hell, drunk tears, I'll pledge thee.
A Fond Kiss is by Alice Dale and produced for radio by Capital Radio Productions.